ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं दैवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम सेवेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 37। प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। तस्मै भवान् हया शिरस् तनुवम् हि बिभ्राद् वेदा द्रुहाव अतिबलौ मधु कैतभ्याख्यौ हत्वानयत् श्रुति गणांस च रजस तमस च सत्वं तव प्रियतमां तनुं आमनन्ति तस्मै भवान् हयशिरस्तनुवं हि बिभ्रात् वेदद्रुहावतिबलौ मधुकैतभाख्यौ हत्वा नयत् श्रुतिगणंश्च रजस्तमश्च सत्वं तव प्रियतमां तनुमामनन्ति। तस्मै भवान् हयशिरस्तनुवं हि बिभ्रात् वेदद्रुहावतिबलौ मधुकैतभाख्यौ हत्वा नयत् श्रुतिगणंश्च रजस्तमश्च सत्वं तव प्रियतमां तनुमामनन्ति। तस्मै भवान् हयशिरस्तनुवं हि बिभ्रात् वेदद्रुहावतिबलौ मधुकैतभाख्यौ हत्वा नयत् श्रुतिगणांश्च रजस्तमश्च सत्वं तव प्रियतमां तनुमामनन्ति। प्लीज स्टैंड। तस्मै भवान् हयशिरस्तनुवं हि बिभ्रात् वेदद्रुहावतिबलौ मधुकैतभाख्यौ हत्वा नयत् श्रुतिगणंश्च रजस्तमश्च तस्मै भवान् हयशिरस्तनुवं हि बिभ्रात् वेदद्रुहावतिबलौ मधुकैतभाख्यौ हत्वा नयच्छ्रुतिगणंश्च रजस्तमश्च माताजी ओके प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी तस्मै अंटू लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा भवान योर लॉर्डशिप हयशिरः हैविंग द हेड एंड नेक ऑफ अ हॉर्स तनुवम द इनकार्नेशन ही इंडीड बिभ्रत एक्सेप्टिंग वेदद्रुहौ टू डीमंस हु आर अगेंस्ट द वेदिक प्रिंसिपल्स अतिबलौ एक्सट्रीमली पावरफुल मधु कैतभाख्यौ नोन एज मधु एंड कैतबा हत्वा किलिंग अनयत डिलीवर्ड श्रुति गणान ऑल द डिफरेंट वेदास च एंड रज तम च बाय रिप्रेजेंटिंग द मोड्स ऑफ पैशन एंड इग्नोरेंस सत्वम प्योर ट्रांसेंडेंटल गुडनेस तव योर प्रियतमाम मोस्ट डियर तनुम फॉर्म एज हयग्रीव आमनंती दे ऑनर ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद श्रील प्रभुपाद की Translation. My dear Lord, when you appeared as Hayagriva with the head of a horse, you killed two demons known as Madhu and Kaitaba, who were full of the modes of passion and ignorance. Then you delivered the Vedic knowledge to Lord Brahma. For this reason, all the great saints accept your forms as transcendental, untinged by material qualities. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in His transcendental form is always ready to give protection to His devotees. As mentioned herein, the Lord in the form of Hayagriva killed two demons, namely Madhu and Kaitaba, when they attacked Lord Brahma. Modern demons think that there was no life in the beginning of creation. But from Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that the first living creature created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead was Lord Brahma, who is full of Vedic understanding. Unfortunately, those entrusted with distributing Vedic knowledge, such as the devotees engaged in spreading Krishna consciousness, may sometimes be attacked by demons. But they must rest assured that demoniac attacks will not be able to harm them, for the Lord is always prepared to give them protection. The Vedas provide the knowledge by which we can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedesh sarver aham eva vedyah. The devotees of the Lord are always ready to spread knowledge by which one may understand the Lord through Krishna consciousness. But the demons, being unable to understand the Supreme Lord, are full of ignorance and passion. Thus the Lord, whose form is transcendental, is always ready to kill the demons. By culturing the mode of goodness, one can understand the position of the transcendental Lord and how the Lord is always prepared to remove all obstacles on the path of understanding Him. In summary, whenever the Lord incarnates, He appears in His original transcendental form. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, यदा यदा हि धर्मस्य ग्लानेर भवति भारत अभ्युत्थानम धर्मस्य तदात्मानम सृजाम्यहम् Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. It is simply foolish to think of the Lord as being originally impersonal, but accepting a material body when He appears as a personal incarnation. Whenever the Lord appears, He appears in His original transcendental form, which is spiritual and blissful. But unintelligent men, such as the Mayavadis, cannot understand the transcendental form of the Lord. And therefore the Lord chastises them by saying, Avajananti mamudha manusim tanumashritam. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. Whenever the Lord appears, whether as a fish, a tortoise, a hog, or any other form, one should understand that he maintains his transcendental position, and that his only business, as stated here, is hatva, to kill the demons. The Lord appears in order to protect the devotees and kill the demons. Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya cha duskrita. Since the demons are always ready to oppose the Vedic civilization, they are sure to be killed by the transcendental form of the Lord. Please repeat the translation after me. My dear Lord, when you appeared as Hayagriva with the head of a horse, you killed two demons known as Madhu and Kaitaba, who were full of the modes of passion and ignorance. Then you delivered the Vedic knowledge to Lord Brahma. For this reason, all the great saints accept your forms as transcendental, untinged by material qualities. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshutarine He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are discussing currently 7th canto, and this is the 9th chapter, which is Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. So till now we have seen that Prahlad Maharaj, he is following the order of Lord Brahma. He is pacifying the Lord with prayers after the Lord was extremely angry having killed Hiranyakashipu. So because after killing Hiranyakashipu, the Lord continued to be angry. So all the demigods were thinking how to pacify the Lord, because not even the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, was ready to go near the Lord. So then Lord Brahma, he asks Prahlad Maharaj, so you go and pacify the Lord. And Prahlad Maharaj is not at all afraid. He has full confidence because the Lord has protected him. And he goes near the Lord, Lord Narsingadev, and he offers prayers. In fact, before when he comes near the Lord, Lord Narsingadev touches Prahlad on his head. Just by the mere touch of the Lord, Brahma Gyan is achieved by Prahlad. And Prahlad glorifies the Lord in the most amazing verses, which are what we are currently reading in this chapter. Prahlad is actually saying that I am not proud of being able to offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am simply willing to take the shelter of the mercy of the Lord. For without devotion, one cannot appease the Lord. In fact, we see that Prahlad has also mentioned just before that the miserable condition of the living entities in this material world can be only remedied by the mercy of the Lord. And he also, we just saw in the previous verse, that only by the mercy of the Lord one can understand how material nature acts. So these acts like Lord Brahma appearing from the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, one cannot comprehend unless and until one has the mercy of the Lord. And then Prahlad is mentioning about these two demons, Madhu and Kaitabha. Shishi Radharas Bihari Bhagwan ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shishi Gaur Nitaya ki. So Prahlad is mentioning in this verse about how the Lord appeared as Hayagriva. Hayagriva is the horse-headed incarnation of the Lord. So there were these two demons, namely Madhu and Kaitab, who actually stole the Vedas from Lord Brahma. And as we know, the Lord, the definition of his activities, which is Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam Dharma Samstapanarthaya. So therefore he comes and he killed Madhu and Kaitab and protected Dharma by again giving the Vedas back to Lord Brahma. Many times we hear a name of Lord Krishna as Madhusudan. So how this name came upon is because he is the killer of this demon named Madhu. Even in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, he addresses the Lord as Madhusudan. So he is referring to this horse-headed incarnation, Hayagriva, which we are discussing in today's verse. In fact, there is another name of the Lord known as Kaitabha Shatana, means the killer of the demon Kaitabha. So both of them are being described here in this verse, that the Lord actually killed both of them. Interestingly, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, not much information has been given about the Hayagriva incarnation of the Lord. Skanda Puran and some other Puranas mention about the stories. And some deities of Hayagriva are also worshipped. There was Shri Vadiraj Tirtha from the Madhva line, from Madhvacharya Sampradaya, who was a devout worshipper of Lord Hayagriva. So, here Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he is mentioning the theme of Avatar Tattva, also because in the next verse, which is a very important verse, whenever there is glorification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this verse is recited, which is the next one, which we will be hearing of tomorrow, in which the Lord is glorified as Tri Yuga, who appears in three Yugas, namely Satya, Dwapar and Treta. But in Kali Yuga, he comes as a hidden incarnation, Channa Avatar. So the next verse actually describes him as being Channa Avatar. So Srila Prabhupada is describing in the purport about the transcendental nature of the Lord and why he chooses to come and how the Lord is not bound by any rules and regulations the way we are. Just like a prime minister, when prime minister comes, if he has to go somewhere, he never follows the traffic rules. He doesn't need to. Right? In the same way, the Lord also, when he comes, he doesn't follow the regular rules and regulations when he comes. He chooses. Out of his own sweet will, he chooses to come. Krishna's, the reason why Krishna comes is to kill the demons. If in Kali Yuga, he has to adopt the same strategy which he adopted in the previous Yugas, just like he came as Ramachandra, he killed the demons with bow and arrow. When he came as Krishna, he killed with Sudarshan. And in other incarnations, he kills with so many weapons. If in Kali Yuga, he has to kill in the same way, then there is a lot of killing that he has to do. Because there are so many demons. In fact, in Kali Yuga, the demoniac propensity is within us. And therefore, the Lord comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by the weapon of Harinam, he actually gives us the way, the path, by which we can remove this demoniac propensity from within our heart. In fact, this demoniac propensity it arises because of the modes of passion and ignorance. And we can very clearly see in today's society, the Mayavadis, they are actually none other than these demons whom we are referring to. Now, Mayavad propensity is also within us, the impersonal propensity. It is within us also. Throughout the day, there are so many instances in which we remain impersonal to devotees who are near us. Even we become un-Krishna conscious. You know? We become Krishna unconscious. We just forget. So to remove this Mayavadi propensity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave us this weapon of Harinam by which one can actually remove this deep-rooted mentality which comes about because of passion, that I am the enjoyer. So in this regard, there is a very nice pastime of the Lord delivering Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, which is nicely elaborated in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it so happened that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to Jagannath Puri for the first time after taking sannyas along with all his associates. A Mahaprabhu entered the Jagannath temple, and on seeing Lord Jagannath, Mahaprabhu fainted, and the watchmen were going to hit, they were coming close to hit Mahaprabhu, wherein Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he identified that this very special sannyasi, golden colored body, he is lying there motionless. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he stopped the watchman from hitting the Lord. And Bhattacharya, he took the Lord to his own home, which was nearby. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya put a cotton swab under the nostrils of the Lord. And he observed the abdomen of the Lord. When he observed the abdomen, he saw that the Lord was not breathing. And with the cotton swab, he did observe some signs of life. And then he felt hopeful. Meanwhile, what happened is, Nityananda Prabhu and all other associates of Mahaprabhu who had come with him, they reached Jagannath temple. And there they heard that there was a young sannyasi who fell unconscious. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took him to his house. So the devotees identified, this is none other than Mahaprabhu. But then how are they going to find Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? Just at that time, Gopinath Acharya arrived. And Mukunda Datta, who was also present within Mahaprabhu's entourage, he identified Gopinath Acharya. And Gopinath Acharya was surprised and pleased to see Mukunda Datta and all the associates of Mahaprabhu here at Puri. So then Gopinath Acharya says, "What brings you here?" And Mukunda Datta explained him how they had actually come along with Mahaprabhu, but Mahaprabhu went ahead and took darshan of Jagannath. And he felt unconscious and he has been taken to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. Now you help us. So Gopinath Acharya was very pleased because he said, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is my brother-in-law. So this is very apt. You are meeting me at this time, come, I will take you. So these devotees, they met Gopinath Acharya at the Simhadwar of the Jagannath temple. And Gopinath Acharya took all of them to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he received the devotees, paid obeisances to Nityananda Prabhu. And then he sent his own son to take them for darshan. So the devotees who had come from Navadvip, headed by Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda Datta and all, they all went, took darshan and came back to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, meanwhile, the Lord was still lying unconscious. Mahaprabhu is still unconscious. And when the devotees came, then Mahaprabhu, he again came back to consciousness. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gave Jagannath Mahaprasad to everyone. He offered Mahaprasad to everyone. And then the Lord and all the devotees were very happily taking Mahaprasad. Just then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he asked Gopinath Acharya, "Who is this personality? Sri Chaitanya, who is this personality?" So Gopinath Acharya, he tells that this is none other than Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he goes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he bows down to him and says, Om Namo Narayanaya. So all the Mayavadis, that's how they address each other, they address the sannyasi. And Mahaprabhu replied, Krishna Mati Rastu. So to this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya understood that the Shri Krishna Chaitanya is a Vaishnava sannyasi. He is actually Vaishnava. So then he asked Gopinath Acharya, I want to know about the previous background of Krishna Chaitanya. So Gopinath Acharya tells that he is actually the son of Jagannath Mishra. He is the grandson of Nilambara Chakravarti from Navadvip. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya recollects that Nilambara Chakravarti was actually the classmate of his father. And he knew Jagannath Mishra and he respected both of them. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very happy to know that he is the son of Jagannath Mishra. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the son of Jagannath Mishra. So he told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, approaches Mahaprabhu and tells him, you are a young sannyasi. It is your duty to study Vedanta. So Mahaprabhu, he becomes very humble. He very respectfully addresses Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and tells him, yes, my dear Lord, you have saved me. You are my master. I accept you as my guru. And what happens, that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he goes to Gopinath Acharya and he tells him that where has he taken sannyas from? He asks more about the background of Mahaprabhu. And Gopinath Acharya says that he has taken sannyas from Keshava Bharati of the Bharati Sampradaya. To that, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replies, I can actually elevate him to a higher status of sannyas and give him saffron cloth again and perform the ritual again. Gopinath Acharya replies, do you know who Mahaprabhu is? He is actually none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gopinath Acharya says, it is same the Lord Krishna who has come. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he is not accepting this fact that Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna. And it so happens that the disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, all of them, they are all hardcore Mayavadis. Hardcore Mayavadis who are full of dry logic. So they object to this statement by Gopinath Acharya, saying, how can you say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself? Don't you know where in the Vedas is it mentioned? Where in the Vedanta Sutra it is mentioned? So Gopinath Acharya says, You are acting as if you know, but you really don't know. Don't you know about the quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharat, which describe about the advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kaliyuga? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he replies that the Supreme Lord is known as Triyuga. He comes in Satyuga, in Dwapara and Treta. He does not come in Kaliyuga, therefore he is known as Triyuga. And to this, Gopinath Acharya, he actually narrates to him the next verse, which is going to be tomorrow. He narrates to him this, quotes this verse, which is, Itham Ritirya Grishideva Jasavatarer Lokan Vibhavayasi Hamsi Jagat Pratipan Dharmam Mahapurushapasi Yuganu Vrittam Channa Kalauyad Abhavastri Yugo Thasatvam. And the meaning of this verse is, my dear Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you are known as Triyuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. So in this way, Gopinath Acharya gives this verse. Then he quotes the verse from Mahabharat. The Bhagavatam verse, Krishna Varnam Tvishakrishnam Sangopangastha Parshadam Yagnaya Sankirtana Braye Ijanti Hisu Medasa. And then he quotes the verse in Mahabharat, which is Suvarna Varna Hemango Varangas Chandanad Gadi Sanyasakrit Chama Shanto Nishta Shanti Parayanaha. So this verse means the Lord has a golden complexion. Indeed, his entire body, which is very nicely constituted, is like molten gold. Sandalwood pulp is smeared all over his body. He will take sannyas and he will be very much self-controlled. He will be distinguished from Mayavadi sannyasis in that he will be fixed in devotional service and will spread the Sankirtana movement. So in this way, Gopinath Acharya, he explains to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, quoting from the scriptures, how Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Still Sarvabhauma does not reply, does not accept. So Gopinath Acharya replies, actually you do not have the mercy of the Lord. Till the time you have the mercy of the Lord, you cannot understand. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he tells Mukunda Datta and Gopinath Acharya, you go to Mahaprabhu and tell him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has arranged Mahaprabhu's stay in his aunt's apartment. And he has arranged all facilities for Mahaprabhu. Gopinath Acharya and Mukunda Datta are not pleased by this behavior of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, not accepting Mahaprabhu as God. So they go to Mahaprabhu and explain him. Mahaprabhu says, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is my senior and he has paternal affection for me. So whatever he says, it is good for all of us. So then what happens, next day Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya goes to meet Mahaprabhu. And then he asks Mahaprabhu that what do you have to say about Vedanta Sutra? So Mahaprabhu says, I will accept whatever you say, you teach me Vedanta. For 7 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is giving class on Vedanta to Mahaprabhu, continuously. And Mahaprabhu does not say anything. He just remains silent. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asks Mahaprabhu, are you understanding or not? 7 days and you are not saying anything. So Mahaprabhu says, I understand Vedanta Sutra, but your explanation I don't understand. I cannot understand what commentary you are giving. Unnecessarily you are imagining the meaning of Vedanta Sutra. Why don't you accept straightforward what Vyasadeva is trying to say? You do not refer to the Srimad Bhagavatam and unnecessarily you are referring to Shankara's commentary. And Mahaprabhu in this way, he establishes gives such arguments and defeats the Mayavad version of the Vedanta philosophy of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gets very agitated. How this young sannyasi is talking like this about Shankaracharya? So then Mahaprabhu quotes the Padma Puran verse, wherein Lord Krishna is telling Lord Shiva that you go in Kali Yuga, and in Kali Yuga you preach this Mayavad and cover all the people. And then to this Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he is stunned. He is not able to reply. Then Mahaprabhu quotes the Atmarama verse. Atmaramascha munayo nirgranthapi urukrame kurvanti ahitukim bhaktim itham bhutaguno harihi. And then Mahaprabhu, he gives so many, around 18 explanations he gives to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. First, Sarvabhauma gives his own explanation. Mahaprabhu glorifies him, saying, you are like Brihaspati. Nobody can give explanation like you. And then Mahaprabhu gives different 18 explanations on every word of this Atmarama verse. And after hearing this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is completely flat. He is not able to speak anything. And then he just pays dandavat to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accepting that, my dear Lord, nobody else except the Supreme Lord Krishna could have spoken like this. Out of gratitude and humility, he falls flat at Mahaprabhu's feet. And Mahaprabhu, in order to please and reveal Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he actually shows him his original form. First, he shows him 400 form of Narayan. And then his 200 form as Shyam Sundar with flute, he shows him. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he becomes extremely ecstatic. On the spot, he composes 100 verses in glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 100 verses he composes and narrates to Mahaprabhu, who is very pleased. And Mahaprabhu embraces Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is dancing in ecstasy. He is feeling love of God having received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and is dancing in ecstasy. And Gopinath, Acharya, Mukunda Datta are only laughing. Because they are seeing that the same Mayavadi who was just few hours back not ready to accept Mahaprabhu, just see, after he has received the mercy of Mahaprabhu, how he is not able to stop himself from dancing in ecstasy. And then, in fact, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gets completely transformed. He becomes such a staunch devotee that after this, once it so happens, Mahaprabhu, he meets Mahaprabhu and he tells him that this shloka is there which Lord Brahma prays. Tattenukampa susumikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvagvapurbir vidadan namaste jivetayo mukti padesa dayabhak. There is a problem with this verse. Mahaprabhu says, what is it? He says, the word mukti pade is used. Why mukti is used? It should be bhakti pade. So Mahaprabhu says, mukti here implies bhakti only. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, but mukti, it direct implication, a person who does not know, he may think that this is talking about mukti. So it should be changed. And Mahaprabhu is so happy because the same Mayavadi, who is only after liberation, now just the word mukti, he is getting so uncomfortable by the word mukti. In this way, Mahaprabhu gave his full mercy to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and completely transformed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So this was a very relevant incident as we are discussing in this current context. In tomorrow we will be seeing more about Mahaprabhu's description. In this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning a very interesting point. He says the devotees of the Lord are always ready to spread knowledge, but the demons, being unable to understand the Supreme Lord, are full of ignorance and passion, but the Supreme Lord is always ready to kill the demons and remove the obstacles on the path of understanding Him. And a very relevant story to this context was, I found Srila Prabhupada's life was his battle here in Hare Krishna land, Juhu. Here Srila Prabhupada is mentioning how the Lord kills the demons. And it is very apt that we see Mr. Nair, right, when he tried to oppose, what happened to him. It so happened that in 1971, when the devotees were in Bombay that time, they were staying at Akash Ganga, downtown Bombay, and the life members were in Malabar Hill. So all the activities of the devotees were downtown Bombay. And at that time in November 1971, this Mr. Nair, who used to stay here at Juhu, he offered 5 acres of this Juhu plot to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, he, in 1965, when he used to pass by going to the Skindia colony to give Sumati Morarji and her friends lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam, he used to pass by this same plot. And when he used to see this, he used to feel, what a nice place where a Radha Krishna temple can be built and a nice ashram for the devotees. 1965, Srila Prabhupada used to think like this. And when Mr. Nair offered Srila Prabhupada the same plot, Srila Prabhupada thought this is a reminder from Krishna. But Mr. Nair had his own set of controversies. Through a lawyer, Srila Prabhupada found out that Mr. Nair had previously given this plot of land to some sea company, sold it, and then later on he cancelled the agreement. So this company had filed a high court case. They had filed a case which went to the high court against Mr. Nair for breach of contract. So this Srila Prabhupada had heard, and he had also heard that this Nair was the former sheriff of Bombay. He was also the owner of publications of several newspapers, daily English newspapers in Bombay. So Srila Prabhupada, he met Nair at Theosophical Colony here at Juhu. And he told Mr. Nair and Mrs. Nair, he appreciated this land is very nice, but I don't have money. Then they negotiated, and finally the negotiation was 2 lakhs down payment and 14 lakhs for this land. That 14 lakhs would be paid in regular installments. Prabhupada did more negotiation and brought the down payment to 1 lakh only. That also in 2 installments of 50,000. And the agreement was signed, and after the down payment, Mr. Nair was supposed to give the deed to ISKCON. After the deed, Prabhupada wanted that all the devotees stay here. They shift to Hare Krishna land, and the deities Radharasbihari also to be shifted. Srila Prabhupada thought it's a risk. Satsarup Maharaj writes in the Lilamrit a very interesting point. He says that the practical success of Srila Prabhupada's movement had come by taking one risk and after another for Krishna. In Jhansi, in 1953, Srila Prabhupada had occupied a building, although he had no legal standing, neither he had financial security. It was a risk. In his first storefront in New York, he did not have money to pay the rent. It was a risk. Even in 1971, they purchased the largest temple in ISKCON at that time, in Watseka Avenue. That was also a risk because they had no source for month. They had no fixed deposit and they had nothing to ensure that monthly the money would come. But the entire success depended, till now, this was the principle that just by taking risks, Srila Prabhupada had met with success. And sometimes in our life also we see that, you know, we have a tendency to become complacent and not take up challenges for Krishna. But here in Srila Prabhupada's life we see that he is keeping on taking risks for Krishna. A very important principle that we can apply. Now this land was committed, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he told Prabhupada that actually we are foreigners, we need doorknobs and we need running taps. We cannot survive in this place, because this place was a jungle, marshy land, there were snakes, scorpions, there were different kinds of creatures, and the entire Jew area was underdeveloped. So they said, we cannot stay here. And Srila Prabhupada just gave one reply. He told them, don't you want to get purified? And after that, Tamal Krishna Maharaj didn't say anything, neither did any of the Prabhupada disciples at that time. Because they understood, although it was a big austerity, this was very important to their spiritual master. And then what happened, again Srila Prabhupada met with Mr. Nair, and he wanted to move the devotees and the deities to the land as soon as possible, after the down payment. So he gave 50,000, second 50,000 rupees he gave, 1 lakh down payment was done. Then Srila Prabhupada gave this matter to in the hands of the lawyer for legal processing. Srila Prabhupada he wanted a Pandal program to happen in this place, 10-day Pandal program, which happened in Hare Krishna land. And then in this way the deities Radharasbihari were installed in that 10-day Pandal program. Of course a few people only came. Only 500 people around came at that time, but the deities were installed at that time. Radharasbihari came in taxi. They travelled on the laps of many devotees, and originally after the Cross Maidan festival which happened in downtown Bombay, they actually arrived here at the Pandal. And once it was the deities were installed, Srila Prabhupada said, once the deity is installed on a piece of property, nobody will remove them. So it was like a transcendental tactic. He thought that, you know, nobody will remove the deities once they are fixed up here. But things were not supposed to move so smoothly. The leader here that time was Madhudvisa Swami, who wanted to move back. So Srila Prabhupada took him with himself to Australia. There was Brahmanand Swami who wanted to go back to Nairobi where he was preaching. So then at that time, Srila Prabhupada chose Giriraj Maharaj. That time he was Brahmachari. He chose Giriraj Maharaj to take the lead of ISKCON Bombay. And at that time only, Surabhi Prabhu, he arrived, who was going to be the future architect of this temple. And Srila Prabhupada engaged him in preparing the drawings. Now, it was becoming very difficult for the devotees to stay here. Lot of austerity. But Srila Prabhupada used to encourage them. He told them Bhaktivinoda Thakur's words. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had said, "Difficulties undertaken in the course of your devotional service, I will consider the greatest happiness." So sometimes we, you know, this is a very interesting point. Sometimes, you know, we have a tendency to become easygoing and become attached to facility, to become attached to an easy life. But here we find that our acharya's mood is not that of complacency. It is that of taking challenges for Krishna. When Giriraj Maharaj went to Mr. Nair, Mr. Nair wanted, he asked for more money. And 7,500 rupees were paid to him. And Srila Prabhupada asked, "Why you gave him?" Now Srila Prabhupada was already traveling around the world. He had left Bombay at that time. And it so happened that after that Mr. Nair said that 5 lakh rupees tax, gains tax, upon executing the conveyance the government has asked me to pay. I don't have money, ISKCON should pay. So, and ISKCON didn't have money. So then Giriraj Maharaj applied to bank for loan. Bank said, first get, you should have a approval from the charity commissioner. You are a trust. And then when he went to the charity commissioner, there he was told, this should have been done 6 months ago. You are 6 months late. So they were stuck. And Giriraj Maharaj wrote to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, he was encouraging. Srila Prabhupada, he encouraged, he asked Giriraj Maharaj to take the support of Sumati Murarji, other life members in this area, and ask for donation, ask for this money, 5 lakh, which is to be paid. But what happened is that the money was not coming so soon, and Mr. Nair, he was saying charity commissioner first should give permission. The permission was not coming. There is a chapter in the Lilamrit which says around the world but absorbed in Bombay. So Srila Prabhupada, he was travelling around, but he was continuously, he was absorbed in thoughts of Bombay. In fact, Satsarup Maharaj, he writes that mail from Bombay received first priority. He was only thinking constantly in touch with Giriraj Maharaj and about what are the proceedings which are happening here. And because of difficulties, Srila Prabhupada asked for Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Shyam Sundar Prabhu and Karandar Prabhu, who are his main managers, to come here and assist in Bombay. And it so happened that they were trying to push this Mr. Nair, but Nair was not giving any answer. And then they tried to contact the lawyer, but the lawyer gave resignation. He was not responding even to Srila Prabhupada's telegram. And then they came to know that the lawyer and Nair both were, together in devising this plot to cheat the devotees. So their whole plan was to cheat the devotees, take money from them. And what happened is that then they solicited a very high quality lawyer, very expensive lawyer of Mumbai. And then the lawyer was very heavy with Nair, but then Nair said that you have to cancel the original agreement. And then what happened is that there were more further complications, but Srila Prabhupada was constantly encouraging his disciples to fight for the land, saying that these people have fooled you and you are timid, but you should not give up this fight. The devotees were thinking, why to fight so much for this land? Already who will come? And Srila Prabhupada's plan was that this land to be made into a very first class center. Srila Prabhupada, he said this, "I always think of our Juhu place and I want that it shall be the model for all the world to emulate and respect as the perfect example of a Krishna conscious community. In this way, Srila Prabhupada had a lot of expectation from the Jew land. So he did not want to give up this fight. But his managers were, they cancelled the agreement which put ISKCON at a difficult situation legally. But Srila Prabhupada himself came, he continued the fight. He met with, he sent Shyam Sundar, because Shyam Sundar Prabhu's daughter Saraswati, 3-year-old, Mr. Nair had some fondness for her. So Shyam Sundar Prabhu went to Mr. Nair and told, Srila Prabhupada would like to meet you. And Mr. Nair, along with one guru, he came, just so that he thought Srila Prabhupada should not have some influence on me. And Srila Prabhupada met them, and then after, first they took prasad, and then Mr. Nair said that you must be very tired, you seem to be very tired. So then they left the room and they were both dozing, both went to sleep, the guru and Nair, both went to sleep. Srila Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, go and call Nair, don't wake up the guru, just call Nair. So they called Nair and Srila Prabhupada had a long discussion with him for 2 hours. Now finally the new contract were established, and in the other rooms, the other devotees were already drafting, typing the agreement, and there and there they got it signed and finished. Now Srila Prabhupada thought things would be smoothly. But they were not to be. In fact, what happened is that Mr. Nair went back upon his word. He did not comply with that agreement also. And Srila Prabhupada was getting so much stressed. He was going around the world and only absorbed in this battle for Bombay. That is the name of the chapter, Battle for Bombay. Srila Prabhupada compared Mr. Nair to Kamsa in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He said Kamsa had repeatedly tried to kill Krishna, and just like Kamsa had employed many minor demons in his attempts to kill Krishna, and Mr. Nair has employed demoniac agents like lawyers, friends and hoodlums. In fact, Srila Prabhupada, it so happened that Mr. Nair, he was so anti, he did not want this land, he did not want to give this to the ISKCON devotees. And Srila Prabhupada, when he met him one more time, that time Nair shouted, he said, I will remove the deities myself, I will break the temple and remove the deities. He said like this. And that week, Mr. Nair was hospitalized after a severe heart attack, and 2 weeks later, he died. When Prabhupada heard of his death, he was first silent, and he quoted the Prahlad Maharaj verse from the Bhagavatam when after the death of Hiranyakashipu. Modeta sadhu rabhi vrikshika sarpa hatya. Even a saint is pleased when a snake or scorpion is killed. But after his death, his wife continued the fight. And in fact, she ordered the demolition of this temple, of the temple which was, you know, the temporary temple. We've heard of this many times, that how the brave devotees at that time, they did not allow the temple, they fought with the municipal authorities. In fact, one Mataji, she actually stood at the, she stood in front of the gate and said, if you want to break the temple, then first you must go through me. So at that time, we know the famous incident wherein at that time, the one life member, he solicited the support of Bal Thackeray, who called and at the right hour, at the right moment, stopped the demolition of the temple. And now the case was still in court, and with the help of Mr. Sethi, over the weekend, a temporary temple was built. And when the judge heard of it, the judge said, "The what is built is built. So now you cannot remove the temple. Now you cannot break it." So in this way, the land finally came to ISKCON. So it was a huge struggle that Srila Prabhupada actually underwent for this place. So it is our responsibility to also value the same and continue in the same spirit that Srila Prabhupada did. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Ruji. Ruji, you were mentioning in the beginning that it's not a very big question. Lilamrita says that down payment was 2 lakh rupees. So you read somewhere that Prabhupada brought it down to 1 lakh?
Yeah, I've got it here. He negotiated.
Huh.
It's mentioned here, he negotiated to 1 lakh and that in 2 installments. So.
Okay. Lilamrita says it is 2 lakhs. So you read somewhere this.
This is Lilamrita, Roji.
No. Lilamrita says, Roji.
Okay, you said, okay.
Yeah,
fine,
yeah.
Might be some letter.
Oh, I just wanted to see where it is written like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Itai Gaur Premanande.